Welcome back to the American People Podcast, episode number 63 with James and Gary. And I'm glad you guys didn't go on any submarine trips recently.
No.
Oh, my.
My tubular adventures are on pause.
Yeah, you know, a submarine sandwich.
Haha, that's the only one I know.
Well, we call them hoagies around these parts, but whatever. So this is a story that kind of came and went on our between episodes, but the Titan submersible will filled with a billionaire son, a couple of scientists, driver, the CEO of the company, went down to go see the Titanic, and what we know now is they just kind of got, like, squished.
No, they found Atlantis.
Kind of, like, got squished. I think what you want to say is there was a slight breach in the hull, and the ever-living fuck got crushed out of all of those people.
I mean, the good news is that they probably didn't realize it was happening.
No, they didn't. I watched
the video. I bet you they felt like a can of sardines at the end, though.
They didn't feel shit, man. Like, by the time by the time it took their brain to realize it happened, it had already happened.
Already exploded and ended up on the ceiling of the fucking sub.
No,
like
they became
1 minute they're tried.
No, I was they ended up a Crest toothpaste tube.
Oh no. They didn't say Crest, like other toothpaste tubes don't do the same thing. Are you being paid by Crest?
I don't think Crest wants that publicity there, bro.
Who would want their publicity there? I mean, our submarine crushes faster than our toothpaste tubes is kind of not a good business model.
No, it's not. No. It's not a good business model at all.
See, because in my mind, the way they were dying, I thought it was the submarine, like, lost power and it was just stuck down there and they were just in a dark, pitch black, air is running out, they're in a cramped space. Like, that's my worst nightmare. Like, that's what I thought happened to them.
You know, even worse than that. They were crushed by the pressure.
Actually, even better than that. Like, it's better to just have an instant death than a slow death.
Yeah. In perpetual blackness at night.
Next to the Titanic.
Not knowing which way is up and down. And then seeing Rose and Jack at the Titanic.
Oh, dear.
Like, oh man, I love this movie. Well, now you're a part of it. All right, so sadly, human remains have likely been recovered from the wreckage of the submersible that imploded during an underwater voyage of the Titanic, said the Coast Guard. The news came after the announcement that debris from the Titan collected from the seafloor more than 12,000 feet below the surface of the North Atlantic had arrived in St. John's, Newfoundland. Twisted chunks of the submersible were unloaded at a Canadian Coast Guard pier. Recovering and scrutinizing the wreckage is a key part of the investigation into why the Titan imploded last week, killing all five people on board. The multi-day search and eventual recovery of debris from the 22-foot vessel captured the world's attention. I was actually watching a video about like the company and all that, and like they had actually had other submarines before that were more successful. This was like an experimental one that was using like a carbon fiber shell, and
the miscalculation there is what my real question is, because I support the science behind it. It had to be either a miscalculation or a malfunction.
I think it was just like they were being a little bit bold with their design. They were trying something different with, like, because it was a submersible. It wasn't a submarine. Like, a submersible is just it's kind of just like a capsule. Kind of it just goes down, and you know, a submarine's like an actual, like, you know, full Grant. Vessel and shit.
Go
by itself, like it operates itself.
Listen, they tried to be a suppository
and whatnot, of course,
and like. So they were trying something different, and the CEO may have gone around some safety concerns. We don't know. I mean, they're still investigating, so we probably won't know for a while, but it just crumpled. The hull probably just couldn't withstand as much pressure as they probably thought, and it just crumpled. So that's like, and it is sad. I mean, like, even if you don't like the billionaires on board, there was at least like one like 19-year-old who like only went because his dad wanted to go, and he wanted to be nice to his dad for Father's Day, and yeah. Mm-hmm. And now they're all dead. So. James looking up what is a catastrophic implosion.
No, I want to know how many pounds of pressure that the Titan sub had to withstand.
Somewhere around 2 kilos.
I mean, you're 12,500 feet underwater. I'm going to guess a lot.
15 kilos.
Yeah, I mean, 6,000 pounds per square inch.
Yeah, that's a lot. Deal?
Yeah,
15 kilos, my boy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not totally against, like, because part of the reason they're going down there wasn't like just a tourist thing. Like, they actually had scientists on board that were going to look at things and examine things. And the billionaires were there because, well, they're a small company and they need, you know, you need investments, you need things like that to continue your research. And that's kind of what they were doing. You know, it's just like, okay, I'll pay the money, you know, I'll pay you $250,000 each. And, you know, in exchange, you just take me down and I get to see you with my son. You guys do your research. Like, it's a win-win, you know?
Oh, in theory. I found out an estimated on how many pounds of pressure that damn submersible felt.
Oh, yeah.
1,584,000 pounds of pressure.
Whatever, I put myself under more pressure every day.
Fuck you.
Jesus Christ, if only that pressure could amount to the amount of pressure that three children provides.
And add on top that they have that it was being controlled by a Logitech game controller.
Oh, so you admit that Logitech was at blame for this catastrophic venture.
Yes, that's exactly once again, what I'm saying.
Their shitty tracking and movement system has fucked another submersible.
Yes.
What do you mean another? Has it done it before?
Subnautica.
I mean, that's the funny thing. Is like, it wasn't even the controller that is the reason why. It was just, I think it was just the hull design. Like, because a lot of companies use, like, shitty game. Even the Navy uses game controllers for their fucking equipment. How do you think a drone is controlled? Could be a PS4 controller. See, you don't know.
Who knows?
So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like your part of you is like you want to laugh because like, oh, look at the stupid, you know, rich people like kill. But it's like it's not quite that simple. I mean, maybe you can laugh at the one rich guy who got on. I mean, the CEO for being kind of a, you know, irresponsible with, you know, his whole design. And like, look, I get you want to be revolutionary and you want to, you know, make something that's like works better than any other submersible out there. Like, that's great. You can do more research, more effective research. Said he got five people, including you. The CEO's dead now, too. Like, CEO of the company, like, he went down, that thing now is dead. So,
I guess his math was off
slightly.
Well, now it's all over the place.
There actually is videos of him like showing off the same submarine, like in documentaries. Like, yeah, this is how it works, this is how it's designed. And, that's awkward. It'd be like if the designer of the Titanic did a documentary show. I'm like, oh, yeah, here's the hull. Yeah, it's unsinkable. Yeah, it's great.
Knocks on hull, sinks.
This bad boy can kill so many people. Slaps on hull.
Splits in half.
All right, speaking of things collapsing, I-95 in North Philadelphia, a section of it blew up. Blew up. Because a truck crashed into it, and I think it was like carrying oil or something extremely flammable. You know, those things have a nasty habit of crashing.
Oh boy,
Jesus Christ!
Yeah, the driver was killed. We don't know. I don't know if we know exactly how he crashed. Maybe he had like a heart attack at the wheel or something. I don't know. But... Crashed into a pillar. The whole truck catches on fire, and half a 95. Pretty much the whole thing is destroyed. Like half, like a midsection of it.
Holy shit!
So the governor swoops in, and he's like, "This needs to be fixed because obviously I-95 is like incredibly important. And the traffic shut down."
No.
I mean, there was like, there was people like they were driving over it while it was on fire, which is like, why? Why are you doing that? Like, it was actually sinking. Like, you could see, like, there was a divot, like, in the ground, like, as it was sinking, as the whole structure was, like, you know, the whole jet fuel, all the melt, steel beams kind of thing. The structure was, like, the beams were melting because it was so hot, and it just, you know, collapsed.
It's hot.
So then, like, 2 weeks later, like, it's fixed. Not fixed. They opened up, like, three lanes, like, temporary lanes, just to, like, get traffic moving again.
Yeah.
And everybody was kind of like, oh, that's a little sketchy because.
I mean, a little sketchy?
A highway a in like four, sketchy? Like 2 weeks, like 12 days even. Like,
let's open it back up. You know, let's do this. We got a little patch.
Which
going
is pretty
on
sure
here.
The fastest PennDOT has ever worked on anything in their lives.
That's why it broke again.
See, that shows you that, like, PennDOT, like, they are capable of some really impressive work. They just don't give a shit most of the time.
Yeah, they're union, man. Of course they don't.
It's just like, yeah, we'll get to it. But then when the governor's like, all right, you guys need to like get this done right now. And they're like, okay. And then they got it done. On live stream. There was a live stream of it. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is this like the first time ever like a bridge, like a highway reconstruction was live streamed?
I don't look for them, but I can't tell you.
I mean, it's definitely not the first construction project that was live streamed, but it's got to be like one of the first, like at least in the Highland. But anyway, just looking for any first. As for myself, I don't live that far north, so I never go on that section of I-95 anyway, but
it sucks anyway.
But yeah, it all sucks.
I thought they were redoing the entire thing.
No, they only
they
just
were redoing the entire
section.
Fucking thing for a while.
I mean, they are going to rebuild all of that, but like that's going to take like a while. So like get some, so like three lanes. Like I think it's like, I don't know if it's like six lanes like normally. So like three lanes, just temporary. And I'm sure that's probably even going to get knocked down and replaced with like something else, just because like it's only temporary built. It's just the bare minimum of, you know, of construction just to get traffic flowing, because the traffic jams were a nightmare while we shut down. Like, you know, like I was seeing the videos of it, it was just bad. Routes around it, it was very bad. So yeah, and then you PennDOT will now go back to doing everything incredibly slowly and being inefficient, leaving giant craters in the ground. You know how it is.
That they're hubby holes for homeless people.
Like World War One trenches.
Yes, yes. Just get in there. Just get in there.
Speaking of war, something pretty, honestly, I kind of find it funny. So there was a legitimate belief that Putin was about to be like overthrown by this private military group in Russia called the Wagner Group.
Ooh, Wagner.
Wagner. I mean, it's like
Wagner.
It's like it's at a W, so it looks like Wagner.
The
but
other
I
day,
guess, like, in Russia, it's Wagner.
The other day.
There's a feud between Yevgeny Prigozhin, who was head of the group, and Russia's top military brass. So Prigozhin accused the Russian military of bombing one of their like camps and like killing a bunch of their men, and Russia was like, that's bullshit, we didn't do that. And Prigozhin's like, well, I'm mad at you guys, so I'm gonna march up there and kick your ass. Like Hank Hill, like, I'm gonna kick your ass.
So
Prigozhin, he leaves the front lines in Ukraine. marches across the border to Russia and seizes Rostov-on-Don, which is where a major Russian military headquarters is.
Oh my.
Major so they took the city. So the city was like about 600 miles south of Moscow. So a pretty big distance, but it's kind of where you can stage your operation. If you're planning on going up to Moscow and kicking Putin's ass, that's where you'd start, I guess.
Yeah.
There was even like reports of like Russian military members like leaving the military and joining the private military group.
Really?
Yeah, so there was reports of that. I don't know how true they are or not, of course, because with this war, everything's kind of like he said, she said. We don't know for sure.
Yeah, it seems like the way it goes nowadays.
But so then as he's marched there, he gets about like halfway. I don't know. Like he's taking another, like taking cities and then.
Damn, this temple is next with my ass.
He just decides to stop. Like he surrender, like he doesn't surrender, but he's like, yeah, he reaches it
definitely like, with my ex.
The president of Belarus apparently negotiated a peace deal between them, which sounds like bullshit, but whatever. He was like, hey, look, Prigozhin, so he agrees to exile himself to Belarus. The military coup is over. It lasted like 2 days tops. And everybody was really confused because it was like, it looked like he was going to like at least challenge Putin for power. And then he just like says, nah, I'm good. Never mind. I'm sorry. I apologize. And he gets exiled. So everybody's really confused about it. And we're probably not going to know anything about this for a very long time. Like, just one of those things that's going to be kept secret about what the deal actually was behind the scenes. Like, you'll have to have the collapse of Russia and then, like, secret documents come out. Because we'll probably never fully know for a while. But it is really weird. Like, you have all this momentum. Like, you took a major Russian city and then you're marching on Moscow and then you just say, nah, I'm good. I don't feel like it anymore. So some senior U.S. officials believe that Prigozhin thought he would have help from the Russian military. So maybe in his mind it was like, okay, I'm going to challenge Putin. I'm going to remove some other guys from power. He had major disagreements with Sergei Shoigu, who is one of like Putin's top military advisors. So they were thinking maybe he's going to do that. Maybe he's not going to overthrow Putin, but he's just going to get rid of some of the guys in charge. I don't know. But I guess maybe when he saw, like, he didn't have the backing of the Russian military or not enough of the backing of the Russian military, he's like, I'm going to lose very badly. And I'm going to be put into a fucking cell in Siberia when my balls are going to be whipped 24 hours a day. So maybe I should find a way out now. Maybe I overstepped a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so he didn't want to get Putin'd, I guess. So a lot of U.S. military officials are kind of like, oh, well, this kind of weakens Putin's. Like, maybe it weakens his grip over control of Russia. And maybe I kind of the conclusion that it strengthens it because he kind of just put down a coup without really any major bloodshed. Now, it is interesting that if this guy Prigozhin somehow did take power in Russia, it's not like he's a saint, like he's like an asshole. So things might even be worse under him. So it's not like he was this great savior that would have ended the war and there would have been peace on earth and everybody's happy and all that. No, that probably wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
It is like really interesting though. Like, kind of the first like major like development, like really the first major at least challenge to Putin's power since he took office. Really,
I thought nothing came of it.
But
I guess he was hoping to have another revolution on his hands.
I don't know what Prigozhin was trying to do. I don't know if he was trying to take control or if he was just trying to scare him. But either way, something happened where he just surrendered without really any fight. And so everybody's still going to be baffled. We're going to be thinking about this for a while. I mean, I don't think we'll ever really get an answer on this. Just they like to keep that shit secret, of course. So.
Of course. They're not going to outright come out and say it.
I wish they would.
Wish a lot.
All right. So we got a Supreme Court ruling. The courts in a 6-3 decision, because that's the conservative majority, 6-3, rejects affirmative action and ruling on universities using race and admissions decisions. So basically they're saying you can't choose based on like race anymore, pretty much. They say it violates the Constitution's 14th Amendment.
Yeah,
because like recently, basically what universities were doing was like, well, we want more of a non-whites and non-Asian too. That was also a problem because Asians were making it in big numbers. But what this did was, I mean, you're opening it up to you're choosing people that should have gone to college. You're not choosing people that should have gone to college, and then you're choosing the people who maybe should have gone to college or at least shouldn't have gone to your college, like. I like sure maybe you're good enough to go to college, but like not Yale or Harvard or you know something like that, right?
Yeah.
But these universities, like they were denying qualified applicants because they were the wrong race. They're like, we need to get our diversity numbers up, so we, you know, there a lot of students are being picked because of their race, like not because they were qualified. Like I don't think it made the problem any better. All right, like you wanted it to be more like. Fair, like it wasn't like maybe back in the day you had universities choosing students because they were white. Like, yeah, I can believe that. I'm very certain that happened. But the solution is not okay. We're going to reverse that and say they're only going to choose students who are also not Asian. By the way, again, that was another thing that was happening pretty badly.
I heard about.
So that. You're saying we're only going to admit Black people or. You know, Hispanic, you know, things like that. Like, again, one thing, it's fine if they're qualified. It's quite fine if they have the grades. Like, that's the whole point of college. It's like, okay, we're accepting you because you have good grades and, you know, you pass our interviews and whatever processes you go through in some of these major colleges. Because if somebody's going to Harvard, then they should have the best possible credentials, right? Like, if you're in an Ivy League school, you know, you're not just letting someone in because they're the right color. You're letting them in because, holy shit, this dude's smart as hell. Like, he should come to our school, you know?
Yeah.
And go into extreme debt, but that's another story.
Oh, yeah. The overpriced, overcharged, and not worth it anymore colleges. Yes.
Yes, exactly. In a 6-2 decision, Chief Justice John Roberts wrote in the majority opinion that a benefit to a student who overcame racial discrimination, for example, must be tied to that student's courage and determination. Or a benefit to a student whose heritage or culture motivated him or her to assume a leadership role or to attain a particular goal must be tied to that student's unique ability to contribute to the university. In other words, the student must be treated based on his or her experiences as an individual, not on the basis of race, the opinion reads.
Yes.
Many universities have for too long done just the opposite, and in doing so, they've concluded wrongly that the touchstone of an individual's identity is not challenges bested, skills built, or lessons learned, but the color of their skin. Our constitutional history does not tolerate that choice. Of course, Justice John Roberts was joined by Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett. You can guess who wrote the dissenting opinions.
Yeah.
Justice Sonia Sotomayor, Elena Kagan, and Ketanji Brown Jackson. Oh, I mispronounced her name. I'm a racist.
Who's going to sit here and read 237 pages?
Someone with more time than me.
Dude, if I ever was in a position where someone slaps a fucking file on my desk and it's taller than my desktop computer, I'm going to cry. That is ridiculous. Read it by Tuesday. But it's Wednesday.
Too long didn't,
you're late.
Too long didn't read.
Yes, too long didn't read. I've read and accepted the user agreements. Extremely guilty of just clicking that just to get to the product.
Clickbait. You won't believe what this Supreme Court justice said about this decision.
What?
No, I mean, that was the clickbait title.
Oh.
You won't believe what Clarence Thomas said.
Base Clarence Thomas.
Clarence Thomas, yes. Let's see. Student activist group Students for Fair Admissions brought cases against both Harvard and University of North Carolina. The group initially sued Harvard in 2014 for violating Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, which prohibits discrimination on the basis of race, color, or national origin in any program or activity that receives federal funds or other federal financial assistance. The complaint against Harvard alleged that the school's practices penalized Asian American students and that they failed to employ race-neutral practices.
Mm.
A North Carolina case raised the issue of whether the university could reject the use of non-race-based practices without showing that they will bring down the school's academic quality or negatively impact the benefits gained from campus diversity. U.S. Court of Appeals in the First Circuit had ruled in Harvard's favor, upholding the outcome of the district court bench trial. The district court said that the evidence against Harvard was inconclusive and that the observed discrimination affected only a small pool of Asian American students. In the UNC case, a federal district court ruled in the school's favor, saying that its admissions practices withstood strict scrutiny. I find that to be bullshit, but... Roberts said in his majority opinion that both admissions programs at Harvard and UNC lack sufficiently focused and measurable objectives warranting the use of race, unavoidably employ race in a negative manner involving racial stereotyping, and lack meaningful endpoints.
Race has nothing to do with it.
It shouldn't.
It's only racists bring up race in their arguments. So...
And I gotta read Justice Clarence Thomas's opinion. He wrote a separate concurrence with his own thoughts. The decision, he said, sees the university's admissions policies for what they are, rudderless, race-based preferences designed to ensure a particular racial mix in their entering classes. These policies fly in the face of our colorblind constitution and our nation's equality ideal. In short, they are plainly and boldly unconstitutional.
Yep.
And this is a quote: "While I am painfully aware of the social and economic ravages which have befallen my race and all who suffer discrimination, I hold out enduring hope that this country will live up to its principles so clearly enunciated in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States, that all men are created equal, are equal citizens, and must be treated equally before the law." A man knows how to write an opinion.
Yeah, I know.
Goddamn, that's an opinion.
Like, the people who go after, like, conservative blacks are just bad people.
It is funny, like, he's a white supremacist or something.
Yeah,
like,
he's the black face of white supremacy. Oh, that's what they said Clayton, about the...
He's Clayton Bixby.
Yeah. It just makes no sense. Like, he is an example that the system is not racially biased because we... broke through that barrier.
When you consider the time period he grew up in and where he is now, it's like, that's pretty impressive.
It is.
And, you know, Bill Clinton and the Democrats in the 90s tried to, you know, tear him down, tried to make sure he didn't get that post, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And when Joe Biden did as well. the sexual assault or, you know, rape scandal with him, and He shut it down. That whole part where, like, Biden asks him a question and he, like, shuts it down is, like, one of the best, like, clips I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Because he just enunciates his point so well. And it's like Joe Biden has never spoken with that much clarity in his life, even when he was, like, a young man and could actually form thoughts.
I don't think he could ever form thoughts.
Maybe, like, 50 years ago. Like... maybe.
In what universe?
Bro, the president is so old that 50 years ago he was in his 30s.
Oi.
Putting that out there. The old. Oh, yeah, he said something about, like, Russia waging aggression against, like, Iraq or something, like, mm-hmm. because he just didn't know what to speak. It's just like, come on, dude. How are you that bad?
I don't know why they're doing that with him.
They're just I mean, there's rumors that they're going to replace him with, like, Gavin Newsom, but,
It's literally liberal Hitler. I don't understand.
Littler?
Yeah, it's Libbler.
Libbler. Fucking Hitler with, like, a pink suit on.
Don't worry. Pink mustache. Fire is very diverse. It's very...
I want to burn everyone equally.
Yes, at 450.
Let's see. Another Supreme Court decision has solidifies protections for workers who ask for religious accommodations. Supreme Court on Thursday used the case of a Christian mail carrier who didn't want to work Sundays to solidify protections for workers who asked for religious accommodations. I do find that amusing that he didn't want to work on Sundays. Don't they, like, not deliver on Sundays?
Some will. They might have a Some have contracts with, like, Amazon, and they'll deliver just packages, not mail.
I don't know. Like, I feel like that's the worst career you could go into, like, package delivery, if you don't want to work on Sunday. Like, there's many jobs where you have awful weekends.
Some people just can't afford to get other jobs. Like, if you've been in an employee, I mean, USPS is a government.
It's federal. Yeah,
it's a federal thing, so they might. I'm not sure, because I don't know the rules or regulations like that, but I know that Amazon and FedEx, and they'll use the USPS postal services to deliver their packages in areas that they don't service or something like that. Because I've gotten Amazon packages from a USPS driver on a Sunday before. And I'm like, you must hate your life right now, don't you?
Probably.
They usually just flip me off and run away.
That's what I do too.
I mean, who else goes to the mailbox in their underwear?
And then, except I flip you off and I run towards you. In a unanimous decision, the justice made clear that workers who ask for accommodations such as taking the Sabbath off should get them unless their employers show that doing so will result in substantial increased cost of the business, which, I mean, having one guy not work on a Sunday is not going to kill you. So. Mm-mm. Unless you're, like, a business of two people, but it's unlikely.
Plus, the USPS is a it just shows a picture of. Is it the United States Postal Service that this is about?
It just said Christian mail carrier, so I don't know. Oh wait, Gore delivered in the case of former employee of the U.S. Postal Service in Pennsylvania. Okay, Amish country too.
Oh, yeah. Postal Service for failing to accommodate his religious practice. Okay, yeah, so it is a USPS employee.
It does seem like a pretty shitty thing to do. Like, it's just give them off on Sunday. Like,
what cost are they gaining from delivering mail? I thought they were tax-funded.
I don't know if they were doing it. Maybe it was, like, a staffing issue, not really a cost issue.
Oh, well, the decision is just made for accommodations for anyone asking to take the Sabbath off. It doesn't really say just for, it's just in general. So, this would not apply to the United States Postal Service that I'm aware of for substantial increased costs when they're a government-funded entity. Or taxpayer-funded.
The case before the court involved a mail carrier in rural Pennsylvania. The man was told that as part of his job, he'd need to start delivering Amazon, see how you call it, Amazon packages on Sundays. He declined, saying his Sundays are for church and family based. Yep. U.S. Postal Service officials initially tried to get substitutes for the man's shifts, but they couldn't always accommodate them. So that's the staffing issue I was talking about. Mm-hmm. When he didn't show, that meant more work for others. Ultimately, the man quit and sued for religious discrimination.
Yep. Exactly what you do.
It's actually pretty hard to get like a permanent job in the postal service. Like all the openings are like temporary and then maybe they keep you on, but like you gotta kind of risk it a little bit there.
It seems the same way for like any kind of government job. They'd usually just use you for about 3 years and just say, hey, who are you?
It's not even 3 years. It's like, I think like 6 months or something, or a year. Like you're on the postal service and then if they're like, hey, you're doing a really good job, here's a permanent position, you know? But it's not like you could just get a permanent position day one.
It's a temp to hire, right?
Yeah, but you get really good benefits from working for them, so it's actually pretty sweet.
Apparently not Sundays off.
Not Sundays, but, you know. I mean, you want off Sundays, work at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, I know, right?
The case of the latest religious confrontation the High Court has been asked to referee. In recent years, the court's 6-3 majority, the conservative majority, has been particularly sensitive to the concerns of religious plaintiffs. I always found it like amazing that they, like that whole thing with the bakery, like the guy didn't want to bake a cake for the gay couple.
Mm-hmm.
And like they just kept like seeking this guy out, this baker in Colorado. Like they kept asking him to make like weird, their weird shit. And like it's like you're going to a guy who's a Christian bakery. Just go. You know how many bakeries you pass by on the way just to annoy this one guy because you don't like that he's a Christian? Like, come on. Go to an LGBTQ bakery. I'm sure there's plenty of them that would love your business.
I know, right? You just have to attack the people who, under federal anti-discrimination laws, business can refuse service to any person for any reason unless the business is discriminating against the protected class. Wow.
A protected class. So then you just have a different reason. Just say, like, they were rude to me when they walked into the store, so I denied them business.
Yeah, it says, yeah, under... Oh, it's Canadian Human Rights Act. It's Canada. I asked for... Oh, never mind. I didn't put U.S.
Canada be like, you should kill yourself now.
Okay, you die? You die now?
Canada's like, oh, hey there, buddy. I see you're a little depressed there. You might want to consider not living anymore. In, like, a few years, Canada went from, like, you know, the country was like, oh, the great, perfect healthcare, and then now it's like, they'll kill you if you're sad.
You sad? Everyone gets wood chipper. Wood chipper does not discriminate against race, sex, or religion.
True.
If you want to enter true inclusivity and blending, please enter wood chipper.
Very true. All right, we got the number of Kansas residents officially changing genders quadruple this year ahead of a new law.
Stupid. I read through this one a little bit.
Quadrupled? What the fuck?
It's just, they're trying to change the law. So when you, on your license, it says, like, your sex, male or female. They're trying to change it to, hold on. Here somewhere. Biological reproductive system.
Uh-huh. That's really funny.
I don't... It's so stupid.
The article's very biased, so I'm not gonna go too much into it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see, Four times as many Kansans have changed their gender on birth certificates and driver's license and you're ahead of a new state law that prevents residents from identifying themselves differently from the sex assigned to them. I always hated that term, the sex assigned to them. Who's the fuck you mean assigned?
Your chromosomes assign your sex there, buddy.
Like you're at a job, I assign you a task. Like you're born, the doctor doesn't assign you a pair of genitals. You know, like, I'll put a dick on this baby. Like, no, it's not how it works.
They're about to be doing that, assigned jobs, you know, communism type shit. You know, you will be a carpenter until you die.
Like, there seems to be a misunderstanding. When I joined the revolution, I thought I'd be able to, write poetry all day. Shut up and dig coal. Communist revolution,
like,
was
they can just put NA as their sex. Like, there you go. Just keep it there, and it's just not applicable. So, you know.
Not applicable. That bulge between your legs says otherwise.
Affirm me, bigot.
See, Democratic governor, which I'm surprised. Kansas is a Democratic governor? That's insane.
Is that a purple state, I guess?
Well, it's purple because of Topeka. That's pretty much it. Democratic Governor Laura Kelly, who vetoed the law, it was overridden by the Republican-controlled legislature, hasn't said whether she will have state agencies continue to allow the changes. I always found that interesting when they're like, okay, the Congress of the state ruled this, but I'm just going to ignore it. It's like, is that what we do now? Is that what ignore, like, the people's, like, voted majority? Like, we just ignore that?
Oh, yeah, they do that. They just pick and choose their battles there. Like, I'm siding with the smallest, you know, minority with the loudest voice.
Well, the Republicans will never do this. Like, they'll be like, I must respect the will of the people. It's like, your challenger just said he's going to ignore everything you said you're going to vote on. So, like, why don't you do the same thing? If nothing matters anymore.
If everything's relative, it should not matter, right?
Yeah. I've said this before, just a lot of this stuff, this trend, I think it's happening like way too quickly, and I think way too many people are going to end up making some irreversible mistakes when they're very young.
Very irreversible.
And our adults are kind of just like going to let this happen.
Yep.
There's going to be a lot more of like stories, like give it like another 10 years, you know, and you're going to have more and more people coming out like, I really made a big mistake.
If we make it that far.
I think we will, but it won't be pretty.
No, it won't. It'll be rough.
According to the state's data, nearly 80% of the changes in gender on driver's licenses came in May and June after lawmakers overrode Kelly's veto.
Oy.
That's really dumb. Some birth certificates have been changed by healthcare providers who incorrectly recorded the sex assigned a baby at birth. Others were for babies born with intersex conditions, such as ambiguous genitals, who were not initially. I always found that interesting too. Like they use that as there's people born with like both genitals.
0.01% of the population.
Very rare. Yes, that does happen.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, like, they have some kind of corrective surgery when that happens, anyway.
Yeah.
It's happening way too quickly, and it's going to get a lot of people hurt, and it's very sad. Because the media is only going to amplify the stories of the people that were like, I benefited from this, right? But it's not going to benefit, it's not going to, like, I've only really heard one like major story of a detransitioner who thankfully didn't go that far in the process. Like she only took 1 year of like testosterone and then stopped doing it.
That's still
she
enough.
Didn't like changes.
That's still enough. The
like I've seen her now, like she looks, she's very pretty, but she was on Tucker Carlson one time. I forget her name, but she had a really, I mentioned her on the podcast before, like when the story first came out.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably a year ago now, honestly, but, it was like, yeah, I was taking all these like hormones and shit. Like they were very easily accessible. Like I was like, hey, I want more because I'm not becoming manly enough. And they were like, sure, here's some more testosterone. Like it was that easy.
You want more sterilization drugs? Okay.
I love the meme of like the Giga Chat. He's like, I'm gonna like fake. I'm like, yeah, my daughter wants to transition into a man. She needs testosterone. And then, like, they mail the testosterone. He uses it to, like, get more buff. Like, just gaming the system. Nice try, government. All right. Speaking of a mess, number of people homeless in Los Angeles skyrocketed 10% in the past year, despite massive investment. What?
Really?
But we spent so much money.
Apparently throwing money at it does not solve the problem. It's almost like it's a person, individual issue, not a money issue.
Yeah, Yeah, it's almost like you can't, like, oh, we made all these, like, free accessible housing. Like, yeah, I don't, but this guy wants to, like, do meth and, like, fucking spaz out on a street corner. Like, I don't think his homelessness is because of, like, racism or, like, a lack of opportunities. Like, I genuinely think it's because he's just a lowlife who's done drugs so
Yeah,
long.
he had an opportunity, all right, to do drugs until he dies, and that's what he chose to do.
I mean, because that's what a lot of them, like, that's kind of how a lot of them, like, it goes.
It
It's,
is,
they don't
sadly.
want to improve their lives. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, they don't want to get better. Like,
They don't see a reason to get better because they're addicted to a drug.
and it's sad, and I wish we could help them more. And sometimes we do, and sometimes they are lifted out of poverty, which is great, but it's not. A lot of them, they don't want the help. And if the person is rejecting the help, then there's really nothing you can do. Same thing
Yeah.
with like somebody who's in rehab. Like if they don't want to get better, that rehab's not going to do anything.
No, of course not. Yeah,
There
if they
has to be
have,
some desire to get better.
of course, yeah, and their environment and community has to not dampen that will to get better, otherwise they'll just fall back into their negative ways and then wind up a statistic.
So despite major investment housing and intervention programs, and Mayor Karen Bass making the issue a centerpiece of her administration, the number of people experiencing homelessness in the Los Angeles area continue to skyrocket, with results of the most recent count released today showing a 9% year-over-year increase in homelessness in the county and a 10% jump in the city. According to the results at the point in time count conducted in January, there were 75,518 people experiencing homelessness in the county and 46,260 in the city.
Boy, oh boy.
That is a lot of fucking homeless people.
That is a lot of, that's like a whole nother country right there.
It's like a whole city. Like, that can genuinely just be the population of the city. Like, that is just insane.
They're probably gonna write
For a
their.
longer term comparison, in the 2019 count of those shelters or on the street in the county was 56,000. That means in the past 4 years, the homeless population has risen eye-popping 35%.
You're trying to take over.
And like, the funny thing too is like, who runs the state of California? Democrats for the last, especially now, Schwarzenegger was the last Republican governor of that state, and he wasn't really even that good.
Nope.
So you've had Democratic governors for, now, like, well over a decade now. You've had a Democratic mayor of Los Angeles for forever, probably. I mean, so this is your problem. This is your fault. Like, I can't. There's really nothing you can blame on, like, because they always try to find some level of, like, yeah, well, it was the red state. No, everything in California is fucking blue. Your city's blue. Your gov like the governor is the most liberal, like, dude you can get. Like, he's a moron. He's an asshole, but. Like, he goes along with everything. I'm sure he agrees with everything that Mayor of Los Angeles agrees with, right? They're
Yes.
aligned politically.
Oh yeah.
And you still have this problem. So who's to blame you? It's you. You're to blame. There's no Republican in the background at some higher level that you can blame for this. This is your fault.
We're just too soft on everything, man. There's no accountability anymore. There's no responsibility for our communities, families, neighborhoods, all that stuff. Just no one cares anymore. Everyone expects others to do their work for them. It's just ridiculous. That's always been like a saying I've always heard. It's like, oh, that's not my problem. Motherfucker, it is your problem. Come on, clean the sidewalk, man.
Yeah, that's another thing, is like pride in your city and all that, and culture, and
It shouldn't even be pride. It should be like your duty as a human just to like take care of the your area and your community where you live in. You can't really affect change globally, but if we all take care of it expands, you know. I take care of my spot, the neighbor takes care of himself, and it just on and on and on and on until it just reaches everywhere else. And no one's leading by example, and there's no actual role models anymore to actually teach kids or anyone to do the right thing.
you have more of a discouraging the nuclear family. So, you know,
yeah,
people with kids that are just
mm-hmm.
single mothers, single father.
Yep. Which
mostly there's, single mothers.
There's a lot of stuff that's stemmed back to the single motherhood and all that stuff. Like a lot of the crime bills from like the 90s and 80s for weed and shit. And people getting locked up for that for like 10 years and having kids that are left without a father because they went to jail for like a ounce of weed or some shit.
Honestly, it's not even just that. It's like a lot of guys are just having a lot of casual sex and they're not sticking around when there's a
baby. Oh yeah, that too. That's gotten way worse now than it was back then.
And you keep encouraging, like, and then you have the abortion thing where you're like, okay, well, we're going to have a society that encourages casual sex.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to have a lot more babies that are born, you know, in these situations, or we're just going to have them killed. You know, we're going to have them aborted, you know, it's, and we're just supposed to be okay with that. Like, it's just like, that's just a thing that's like, you have to like it because it's woman's right to choose. And I don't know. I can't get behind that.
No, I can't get behind that either.
And you just keep pushing it. Like, okay, here's my solution to like less abortions. How about stop pushing so much like casual sex? Say,
yeah.
Like, it's in the media. It's
everywhere.
Like, oh my God.
It's been around for a while. It's been around for at least 50 to 60 years, that kind of agenda of casual sex, you know, do what you want.
Unprotected casual sex at that. Like,
everyone thinks freedom is freedom to do whatever you want instead of it's literally freedom to do what you ought to do. Not what you want to do. Not everything you want to do is good for you. But there's stuff you have to do for your country, yourself, your family that you need to do. It's not all about what you want to do. Stop it, this self-worship shit is getting out of hand.
We're doomed.
We're just gonna implode and it's gonna start from scratch, or God's gonna, you know, just end the world. But that's the easy way out for all of us. Just like, hey, just pop the celestial bubble right here.
my favorite meme is like, it's like a text message and it's like to God, and then it just, the text is just when. Like, come on now. Anytime now will be nice.
And it's just stuck on like someone's typing, but nothing's being sent. And
nothing.
It's been 2,000 years.
Like, come on, type it out. But then like the bubble like gets deleted. And then it stops and then it starts up again.
Bro,
like, everything you wrote. You're like, bro, come on. I don't know.
I have no idea.
All right, well, I think that's it for this week. Thank you all for joining us. We are all on the platforms of Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Anchor. You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, at America POV, and not at the bottom of the ocean in a crumpled up submarine. You will not find us there, thankfully.
We're sending Gary down there.
We want him to see if there's any like money in that billionaire's wallet still down there.
He doesn't need a sub. He could just go down there with the sheer rage.
Why pay $250,000 to go in a submarine when you can just pay $6 to get a sub from Subway?
Die. You're done. Get out.
Jared Fogle. All right. See you next week. Goodbye.